Well, it's mid-May.
And feels like we haven't been here since last May for some reason. Nice pretty channel right there.
The windstorm.
Ah, yeah, there's just a little bit of rain that came through. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
It's Michigan. Remember, Michigan after all.
The weather here is insane. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, a little.
In fact, earlier I just built a snowman. It melted 2 hours later.
And then it melts right away. Yeah. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And of course, Will's in the house, man, and everything, and trying to clear up dirty channels.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that? We gotta spray that with something. Get some lights
nothing
off.
Like a clear channel, eh?
Oh,
I just pitched something.
Thank you, all the crap you got to pimp on this show. You gotta be kidding me.
Well, we have a very, very exciting show for you today.
Yeah.
I'm sure that most people visited our website at www.ghostlytalk.com.
You only did half of it that time. www.
Pretty soon, no one's going to ever say that anymore.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to type it in anymore. Yeah. Just
you don't. If you just said ghostlytalk,
unless you're on a firewall. It'll give you a problem. If you're on a corporate network firewall, usually you have to put the whole thing in, even including the HTTP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for it to work properly, or it'll just stand clock on you.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's what I found
And then
out.
You can sue them and say that you're getting carpal tunnel from all the W's.
Yeah. I had to shift to do a colon in it. It hurt my finger.
I threw my shoulder out
injury.
On that one.
Oh,
no way.
Colon and finger do not go together.
But yes, if you've been to
depends on how much you've had to drink.
If you've been to ghostlytalk.com, you know already that we are extremely excited to bring you today. Our special guest is going to be none other than Lorraine Warren.
Mrs. Lorraine Warren. There's brats in the front yard.
See, the whole neighborhood is excited about it.
Yeah.
They're standing outside the window.
Well, you know, they're probably waiting for the ice cream lady, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, why don't they stand in the middle of the street and wait for her to come by?
Actually, on the way here, there was one kid waiting in the street. Idiot parents.
Oh, yeah, we were driving down the street, and this kid, I'm driving slow because I am in a residential area, and I do follow those rules. And I look ahead of me, and we're talking, and I look ahead of me, and there's just this little kid, about 2 years old, standing in the middle of the street.
Like tire high.
Yeah. I wouldn't even notice him. I wouldn't even notice the kid,
oh my
probably.
Gosh.
And I'm like, look ahead. And there's the father. Oh, there's my kid in the middle of the street. I better go get him. Oh, I guess I'll walk over there and go get him. And we're just, like, driving by, and I'm looking at the guy like,
you're like, yeah, that's a good idea.
They probably have a hell of an insurance policy out on them.
No, that's where forced sterilization would work. I have to agree with Aaron on that. That's where people that should not breed right there.
Couple of things. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
We are broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern Time on the Pioneer Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
It's the URL for that is pioneer.rolo.net.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of awesomely awesome shows.
They're awesomely awesome.
including the APSR show. That's weekdays and Saturdays.
Weekdays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure on the schedule on that.
This APS, it's, I think
I
it's 5
it one
p.m.
Night.
Eastern time or something like that. I'd have to look on
I guess I'm going to be on there next Friday.
See, I work. Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Rock!
I'm going to go there and be like, hi.
I'm Scott Allen, I don't know what
to say. So, Scott, what do you do for yourself?
Nothing.
Sit in front of a computer and talk about stuff.
I try to avoid going outside. That's what I do this weekend,
if
it were me. But anyway, and then, of course, Pioneer also airs the immensely popular W Paranormal.
Yeah.
W Paranormal.
W
Paranormal.
It's so easy to say it that way.
And W Paranormal follows Ghostly Talk on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And, of course, their URL is WParanormal.com.
www.paranormal.com.
That's a quadruple whammy for you.
You know what? Whenever, like, there's three W's or three, like, any digits or whatever, I always have to count because I'm thinking I said one too many. You know?
Right.
Even
those...
with the 1-888-888. Okay, stop it now.
1-888-888-888. But, yeah, we're planning our trip. That's the latest in Michigan Ghostbuster news, mm-hmm. is we are planning our trips. We want to get down to Moonville this summer sometime, Moonville Tunnel in mm-hmm. Ohio. Mm-hmm. We want to, if possible, go to, I know I want to go back to Heike's Tomb.
Mm-hmm.
I
like to go.
I
want to
camp.
Yeah, I
say
too.
That now. I'll be there going, I didn't mean it.
I didn't want to.
I usually end up in the truck.
I want to camp at the Holiday Inn.
I heard that's the hot spot at Heike's if you're in the truck. Didn't the guy say that a lot of action they heard was with a truck? Somebody had, they heard scratching and stuff at their truck. Wasn't that
well, there's, there is, I don't know if I heard that, but I know that there's the legend is if you take anything into your automobile, your automobile isn't supposed to start or develop car trouble. So.
And you guys wanted to take it. I'm like, I'm not getting in this car with you guys. We're going to be driving on the road and have a rollover.
You can hop in Leary's car, but hey.
Oh, yeah,
you
did, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, as a matter of fact.
It's been so long ago.
I tested that.
Did it work?
My truck started, surprisingly, but that's the way Doug was driving it on two tracks, you know.
But you're old.
Doug, that's a tree. The car won't push it over.
Hey, you go from the Descort to like a truck like that, you think you can like roll over a house.
You know what? Well,
you get something like this feeling of power.
Speaking of the Descort, I feel really good about the Descort right now.
Did you put it down?
No. Oh, no, I would
take it
feel
out back
sad.
And shoot it.
I would feel sad. That, no. I went on a trip this weekend. Mm-hmm. I went up to Mount Pleasant. It's a couple
of
hundred
odd miles. You drove in that car.
I drove the Escort there. Well, I always trust my car to get me there. It's getting me home. That's you
who
know.
Who cares?
I don't
if
know.
You don't get home, right?
Yeah, especially if you're in Mount Pleasant. But what happens is the I got there and everything and everything was cool. Stayed the night. My nieces and my brother were up there in a hotel room because they have this pool, and they you know he does nice things for them, and they went swimming for the weekend in this hotel that has this awesome pool. Mm-hmm. So we go there, and I hung out for a while, and then I slept, and then got up, and I was gonna go a little bit earlier than everyone else, mm-hmm. so I went to the gas station. With the over $2, you know, they're all over $2 now. $2 US dollars, two hard-earned US dollars per gallon. Ridiculous. Anyway, it was 3.866 gallons. Now, I had filled up. Like, I left the house, went to the gas station, went to Mount Pleasant. It took me 3.866 gallons. Well, I didn't know how far it was, though, to figure, like, the miles per gallon. Mm-hmm. So I drove the same route home, and I measured that mile, how many miles that was. I got 37.5 miles per gallon.
God!
Wow.
Just under 40 miles per gallon.
That's sick.
If I wasn't going, like, 75 and 80, I probably would have hit
that's
40
old,
miles
that's
per
that's
gallon.
That's an old motor on that thing, too. That's
and it works. And it works. And it doesn't demand very much gas, so I'm really happy. So, you know, but the unfortunate part is as the prices go up for gas, my mileage does not get better, you know. It's
well, no, nobody's mileage gets better. Actually, you're talking about gas.
There's all kinds of conspiracy theories going on about the gas prices.
The cheaper it is, the less gas mileage you get.
That's
what I heard. It seems that way. Like, the cheaper the gas was getting, the less gas mileage.
Oh, like they were adding water
years.
And stuff.
Yeah, that's
kind of like those pitchers of beer at Harpo's. 25-cent pitchers and a half, it's like water.
Right, it's like the
this
generic.
Isn't amber. This is more like...
It's urine.
Urine.
I was listening to Coast to Coast on the way into work this morning, because I was up like before like even the birds felt like getting up this morning, so I was listening to Coast on my drive-in, and Art Bell had Richard C. Hoagland on again.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. For the sole fact that on Friday, we're speaking of gas, on Friday, Dr. Eugene, I can't pronounce it because I can't see. Yeah, Dr. Eugene Malov was murdered, by the way. It's something you guys might want to look at. We're going to pimp Coast to Coast here. George Norrie's going to be in love with us, probably. But if you go to the Coast to Coast AM website, this gentleman worked for, Infinite Energy, which they were actually working on projects to develop hydrogen-burning motors. Water-burning motors.
Oh, yes, I know about...
In the middle of this whole gas crisis, this man ends up passing away.
Did he kill himself with, rubber tubing?
I don't know the details.
I think it was rubber bands.
I listened to it as much as I could on the way in, but I wanted to throw that out for people just to take a look at and think about, because it kind of makes me very nervous, to be brutally honest about something like this, because if you do see the gas prices here, this is countrywide. I know in California, it's up to like $3.12 a gallon.
Yes.
$3.12 a gallon for gasoline. It's a bad thing.
Outrageous.
It's completely outrageous. So you guys might want to check that out, take a look at that, maybe read into that a little bit.
I don't know. They have the media whores on on regular radio, because, you know, I only listen to talk radio.
Yeah.
Oh, except for when I'm driving on long trips, then I listen to oldies. But anyway, I don't understand it either.
Is it good sleeping music?
It actually made me cry.
Perfect for a long trip.
It made me cry so bad because when I was in my younger days, I was really, tears were streaming down my face. I was driving up.
You're blowing this bit, you know that.
Well, I was driving up north and listening to the oldies, you know, on the radio, and by oldies, I don't mean, you know, Duran Duran, okay? I mean pre-Duran Duran for all of you youngsters. And I'm listening to these oldies, and I used to take, I used to have a dog named Bingo, and I would take
B-I-N-G-O.
Him for, that was him, yep, well his original name, his given name was Kino, so we changed it to Bingo, because it's just,
Kino,
yeah, so,
I've never met a family more involved with a gambling game, you even name your pets.
Well, we didn't name him Kino. That was his name when we got him.
Is going to be Kuwait. This is my son, Kuwait.
Kuwait. Kiwated Casino Semig. Anyway.
Soaring Eagles.
So anyway, I used to go out for long nighttime drives and listen to Whitley Strieber, you know, Dreamland. I used to listen to Art Bell, because it was all Art Bell and Ian, you know.
Whitley Strieber was on Art Bell last weekend. I've been listening to a lot of Coast to Coast lately.
Yeah. I've missed a lot because I miss my life right now, but it's coming back. It's coming back around. But but anyway, so I used to go on for long drives and listen to Coast to Coast and you know, with Bingo, and we would just drive around aimlessly for hours and hours on end. And you know, it brought back some memories. Anyway.
So you bawled your eyes out.
Yeah. That's kind of sad. What was I saying before that, before I got on the
dog? I don't know.
About the music?
The media whores.
The media whores.
Normally, unless I'm on a long trip, I listen to talk radio, either talk radio or news radio.
Yeah.
One or the other, that's it. Which is why I think in one of my journals, I don't know if I put it in a journal or if I said it on the air, I actually heard a station say, more music, less talk. And I thought, how is that in a band?
Yeah, yeah. Crappy station.
Okay. But anyway, the media whores were on. They were all being interviewed. You know, these are economists and all that kind of stuff. And they're all saying how in today's dollars, $2 per gallon is not much at all.
Yeah, when you're not making that much money, though. And when you're below the cost of living,
well, that's the problem.
Doesn't work
is
the same.
Yeah, I mean, gas jumped. It was just a year ago, wasn't it? Like $2.17. Wasn't it like $1.38, $1.40, I think it was less than $1.40. It leaped up during that brown blackout, people were screaming when it was $1.80. Now it's normal $2 a gallon.
And well, that leads us to our next thing, which is on the homepage of the Ghostly Talk site, if you guys haven't been there yet today.
I was there. I saw.
You put a picture of a gas nozzle on it.
Yeah, and I put a message on there, too.
I didn't read the
this
message
Wednesday,
yet.
Wednesday, May 19th, is basically, they're calling this day Stick It Up Your Ass Day. Nobody can get gas on Wednesday. We're spreading the word. We're backing it up. Nobody gets gas on Wednesday.
So everybody get your ass on Tuesday.
Gas on Tuesday so you make it to work, okay? But Wednesday, no gas.
Don't go anywhere. Stay home and read a book.
Yeah, take a
stay
walk.
Stay home.
Take a walk.
Yeah.
God.
Stay home, read a book.
Park the H2 in the garage, okay? And go take a walk.
Get on your kid's motorized scooter that takes about like a Windex-sized bottle
yeah.
full of gas.
It runs on two double A's.
For yeah. some people that don't know, I don't know if you guys know, this might be like, haha, we knew that, karma. Gas prices go up on Thursdays. Did you guys know that?
I think gas prices go up at any moment. At the drop
Thursday
of a hat,
is
I thought.
The day. You will see on Wednesday it'll be low.
Well, through Monday, I've noticed a Wednesday, trend that toward the... I didn't narrow Thursday. It down to Thursday,
Thursday.
But
every
single
since
week...
Since someone brought that to my attention, sure as crap.
I noticed that it was
up.
toward the weekend.
Exactly.
That I knew that it was always raised in time for the weekend to happen. So, and it's probably because a lot of people get paid still traditionally on Fridays.
Exactly.
So if you raise the gas on Thursday and then they get their paycheck and fill up, right?
There you go.
It's up.
It's up and
it's
that's
like
huh.
I wanted to tell you guys something. It's off the subject of gas, but I finally figured out the show that I watch on Sundays.
Okay.
It's called Unexplained Mysteries.
Okay. That's on
and
a cable
I am
channel.
It's on UPN 50.
What? Right. There's Unexplained Mysteries, I thought, on
TNT or something like that. Is on that, too. But
or PAX.
I know, Scott, PAX, you don't watch it, but you guys, I know you guys would love the show if you guys haven't already seen it. Today they were talking about the house. Oh, God. What was the name of the house? It was where Birds was shot.
Who?
Was it called Birds or Crows? I don't know the name. Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds?
Yes, that farmhouse.
Oh, you mean
that,
the film, The Birds
was
shot.
Oh,
name?
Okay.
I thought I was going to remember the name of the old schoolhouse. But anyways, it was talking about that and hauntings and stuff. And they had this one house they went to. It was a different house. They would take a Polaroid picture of, like, people in the picture, and it would come out, like, writing in the picture, like, plain as day writing, like, God is the way and all this stuff. And they're like, so these people came and researched it because they're like, okay, this might be full of crap or whatever, but they took a picture right there and it came up like different messages, like inspirational messages, like love is the way. It was even this one guy that had came over, they hadn't heard nothing from this ghost like in 2 years. They've been taking pictures, nothing came up. And then this guy came over, he's like, well, take a picture with me. They're like, well, we haven't had any activity in 2 years, so, like, just take it. And so he took a picture, and it said, you need to try harder. I mean, it was, like, in, like, the smoky hue. Perfect, plain as day.
Do you know, that's really interesting, because I have a hard time getting EVP, right, just in my own practice. And these people, they go with a Polaroid camera, and they get a written message, you know. It's kind of, I'm kind of jealous. But at the same time, that reminds me, there is this fellow, and I don't recall his name offhand, and I would know it if I saw it. His claim to fame, this is way back in the day. What he would do is people would take pictures, and he would, like, hold his hand either in front of the camera, sometimes on the camera, which they said you can't touch the camera in order for us to test this. But he would somehow affect the photography, and he would get images in the photo that just should not be there.
Really?
Yeah, and I can't remember his name. Who is it? He did this, like, oh, he did this for years, and he did film. They actually, now this is back, you guys don't remember this, but back before, like, all this digital stuff and even VHS tape, they had camera, film crews would carry on these cameras with the actual film.
I've seen pictures of
film. Yeah, the big round reels they'd mount in the camera, right? And that's how they would do it. He did some of this whammy to actual film cameras, as well as, you know, the Polaroids and whatnot, you know, those kinds of things. So he did it to more than just, like, one kind of visual recording device.
Well, we're going to talk to Lorraine about that tonight, too, a concept that they coined called psychic photography.
Ah, excellent, excellent.
So wrong,
well, how did this work into a segue? That's what I want to know, because we were just talking about really cool stuff. Yeah, I know. This works out really well. Hey.
There is one more mystery.
I'm proud you guys are part of Ghostly Talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice work. There is one more thing that I know we talked about this on Friday when we all went out to, or Thursday when we went out to dinner. Concerning this videotape that's floating around now.
Off with your head.
Yeah, where this...
That was a bad British accent.
Did you watch that?
Did you see that?
No, I refused to watch it.
Oh, you refused to watch it?
Okay.
I thought.
I took the thing you were talking about. I took the video itself.
Yeah.
And FJ sat down next to me, and I said, "No, watch."
Oh, did you look at the time?
The time went like 10 back. Hours ahead.
Either ahead or backwards, one or the other.
For those of you sickos out there who like to go to consumptionjunction.com and watch this video every day, it's up there. If you actually download it or stream it or whatever you do, watch the timer in the corner. You'll see the guy blabbering on in whatever dialect they're talking in.
Well, that's one of the conspiracy things. Not conspiracy, but one of the incongruities, let's say.
Continuity.
Of the thing. The experts in language experts have said that the dialect that whoever the FBI has concluded that is the speaker.
Yeah.
They say that he's speaking not in the correct dialect.
Really? I think you mentioned that too.
The voice patterns aren't even the same.
Well, really? I'm serious that the CIA said we ran voice print analysis. It's him.
But all the independent people are saying, nope, it's not.
And everybody else on the planet is saying,
no,
it's absolutely not him. The it's different. Oh, the peg leg. He's got a like wooden leg or something. Yet he seems to be able to straddle the supposed soldier and everything with no issue.
And what do they say about the time code, too? Because, I mean,
the time,
clearly...
Do you guys just want to come out and say what we're trying to say? I mean, what you guys are trying to say?
Oh, it's easy. It's a four-letter word. Hoax.
Right. Yeah.
The whole thing's a hoax. I don't know why. I don't know... Yeah, distraction.
Well, obviously,
I don't know.
From the other current state of affairs we have going on over there right now that's being publicized nonstop.
We take humiliating
photos. Oh, wag the dog, huh?
Wag, 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 wag.
Wag, 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 wag.
On Friday, actually.
Well, we've been taking a lot of crap for those photos.
Yeah, well, we have to rally the American public again to get them behind this war again. And if you've looked at the numbers, they're dwindling... They're dwindling now.
Right.
So what better thing to do than have an American get their head hacked off?
Was that an American in that video?
They said
did that look like the fellow?
Go ahead.
No, you. I'm sorry. I totally caught you off.
from what I've read, he was an American volunteer that came out there on his own money to volunteer to help.
And they offered to send him back, too. Did you guys hear that?
Well, okay, there's a lot of crap about that, too, that pisses me off.
It's all crap. It's all
listen
crap.
To this. That American volunteer who went over there to help, okay, he had prior dealings with Al-Qaeda members.
Yes, he did.
He went to school with one of the people who who was going to fly a plane into a building, and he had, you know, somehow the fellow who was going to fly a plane into a building got a hold of his password for his either email or access at school. Okay. If you know somebody well enough, I mean, I know that we share a few passwords here, even amongst ourselves, for access to Ghostly Talk related stuff.
Yes.
But you don't know my secret passwords for the servers.
No, I don't want to know them.
You don't know my email passwords. You don't know, you know common passwords that we need in case
just
I'm away and you need
to
do Ghostly Talk business, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand how do you share your password with someone at school?
You don't.
And he was actually investigated too for that.
And he was investigated by the FBI. He had talked to the FBI for that. So he had some kind of now. I'm not saying that it wasn't totally innocent. It could have been totally innocent. His password could have been stolen. Okay.
Or he could have.
However,
he could have been a friend of a woman. Didn't think that he was. It could have been anything.
It means he was mixed up in something he shouldn't have been mixed up in back then. And then he up and goes to Iraq. Would you let your sister go to Iraq, Scott?
I think you know the answer to that question.
Would your mom or your brother let you go to Iraq and volunteer
right
now?
Don't ask me that question right now.
I mean, as of yesterday.
No,
what do you think?
Try about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. Would they?
No.
Bad timing, huh? You mean they bought you a ticket to Iraq? And signed you up on the volunteer program?
We know what the point is, though.
Yeah.
The point is, though.
Ma karma. Yeah.
No, the point is that there's just a lot of... It does not take a political scientist or a hardcore conspiracy.
What would your dad do to you if you said, I'm volunteering and going to Iraq?
Well, he wouldn't let me go.
Right.
He'd probably break both my legs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be going.
I wish we had a webcam right now because I would show you what my dad would look like. He's like...
While reaching for the baseball bat, yeah.
But you said, watch the video, though. I mean, I don't... Some people just don't want to watch it, and I understand that, too. And it's very... It was very difficult for me to watch, too. To be quite
well,
honest. I couldn't... I had a very...
I might go over
it.
There if I watch it. I'm already... You know what I want to make?
It's not...
Video.
It's not like they... It's not like
the
take. It's fake.
The timing.
You know what?
Look at the timing.
Tom
freaking
Smith.
Timing.
Tom Smith can do a better job hacking a head off of a dummy than that was done on supposedly a real person.
And
that was faked. It was completely
let's get
fake.
Even, let's see, just illustrate it even more. Let's get even more disgusting with this. We discussed this on Friday also.
And Tom Smith
over
is
dinner.
An amateur producer.
Yeah.
He can do. I saw some of the masks he did. Some of the heads.
He would have had the blood squirt.
He would have at least had the blood squirt.
No, wait.
And Tom Smith is phenomenal.
Maybe they didn't have
enough
extra.
These people didn't have... Even, you know, the what an amateur producer could do, albeit a good one. Tom is excellent.
Yeah.
But,
no, he's
I
excellent
mean,
at what he does, but the point is...
I could have done a better job on that.
He took the knife.
Tom would have made it look extremely realistic, and you'd have been grossed out. I watched that thing, and all I saw was the camera jostling around.
And then the time go ahead 10 hours.
The time jumping 11 ahead.
11 hours
the
almost.
The blood not squirting out, and then the head looks like it's completely fake.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've seen better math. That Tom and Jason made than that head.
That Tom did how the captain got his groove back and his wife was like stabbing her.
Yeah,
there was blood squirting all over the place.
Oh yeah, they really had a blast with that, and it was Caro corn syrup.
Yeah,
and it was squirting everywhere, and it looked pretty good.
And why do all these videos that come out of Iraq look like they're like video cameras from like 1980?
there's another question.
I have phone movies of myself when I was like 4 years old that look cleaner than that.
Yeah, they do look kind of rough, I will agree. But it's clear to see that there was no blood. I'm sorry, when you cut in... Oh, God, this is so sick. When you cut into somebody's neck, blood's going to squirt.
Yeah, because the heart...
is just going to go nuts.
Yes.
And it's going to squirt for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you're filming it, I don't see why the camera timer is going to jump ahead almost 11 hours. And the camera went down. Oh, God, there's another coincidence.
The camera went down,
and you saw her. All you hear is, what the heck?
What the heck do you mean went down? It was jostled like crazy.
Yeah.
They jostled it. You purposely shake a camera for certain effects and things like that. And also, you purposely shake a camera to hide something.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at it, when he held his head up, remember the Daniel Pearl video? Daniel Pearl's head, where they cut, it was dripping. This guy's head was not dripping at all.
I've seen better masks. Tom and Jason make better masks than that head.
There should
have
been a lot of blood dripping out of that neck, and there was.
Heck
I saw one drop.
And it wasn't even dripping at all.
He had to shake it. He almost had to shake it.
And also the
drop of blood.
What about the expression too? The expression was very plain. Now, if somebody said, oh God, this is so bad. We're gonna go to hell.
Well, I don't know.
If somebody is gonna cut into your neck,
but
you're gonna,
yeah,
what kind
but
of
you
face
don't.
You're gonna make.
I think you'd probably make a face, yes, but I don't think that it would last because you lose muscle control.
Well, yeah,
because you're no longer
but
in control.
But there's just maybe I'm overthinking it, but there's just a lot of things we.
Okay, you guys out there, send us your pictures of beheaded people. We want to compare the faces. No,
it's something to think about.
I'm putting the official FAKE. On that entire story.
Yeah, it's all crap.
For various reasons.
It's garbage.
I also have absolute zero respect for the fellow they say was beheaded. I know they just had this, funeral stuff, you know, may he rest in pieces. But I have absolutely no respect for him whatsoever.
I believe that guy did die. I believe he did die. But
sure.
I don't think he died on film. I don't think he died on film.
I think he was poisoned, shot, killed, whatever, CIA took him out. Right. Or FBI or whoever operates over there. Military.
Or he could have gotten a car accident.
Right. And then they just decide, okay, we got this American guy. We can fake his death. We'll give his parents the body. And all is said and done.
There she is.
Gotta love it.
That'll make the kids happy.
Speaking of being put on ice.
Tell you what.
Ice cream truck.
We gotta run out to the ice cream truck, and then we're going to get Lorraine Warren on the phone.
Yeah. Woohoo! It's
and
better than ice cream.
Maybe
we'll lighten things up here a little bit.
Hopefully we'll talk a little bit about demons and stuff.
Yeah, you know, fun stuff like
fun
that.
Fun stuff instead of, yeah.
Possession.
But so let's get that going. You guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott O.
And I am Karma.
And we will be right back with Lorraine Warren.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Old.
In the house.
Old.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my body.
Old.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, dummy.
What do you see when you're in the dark? And the demons come for you.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott O.
I'm Karma, and I just got smacked. That was God smacked.
Ha ha
ha.
I have to say, I am truly, truly, truly excited. I am truly excited. Scott L. called me up on the telephone one day on the cell phone, and you know, he is a man of few words on the cell phone usually, and
yo.
And he's like, yeah, yo, sup. But he goes, we are going to
sound like
hell.
A drug dealer.
he goes, we actually are going to have Lorraine Warren on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot even tell you how excited I was. I was at a bookstore. I was coming home from the bookstore, and I immediately, you know, I told my mom. I told everybody because Lorraine Warren. I grew up surrounded by stories of what her and her husband Ed did, as most people
mm-hmm.
have, you know, what they've done, and I've never actually gotten to see her at a seminar, because I know they did seminars and
mm-hmm.
probably still do, but the
mm-hmm.
I am just truly absolutely excited. So Scott, read us the intro so that we can get right to talking to.
I'm gonna kill it. Why don't we just go with it? All right. I don't even. My head hurts too much to really try to.
Does anybody in the audience not know?
That's the point right there. What are we doing?
Okay, let's do that. We're gonna actually skip the intro and say.
If they don't know, too bad, because they should have known.
Yeah, because I can't imagine nobody not knowing. Lorraine Warren is you know, the wife of Ed Warren. Ed and Lorraine Warren. They're famous for all kinds of stuff. They were in the movie The Haunting, which I happened to see on like TNT or something about 3 months ago, and I was enthralled. I was so dog tired. I had to go to work the next day, but I was like sitting on the edge of the couch the entire movie, and I stayed up way past my bedtime to watch that. They were in that. They of course are famous as the investigators for the Amityville Horror.
Yes.
How?
Ah.
And then,
there she is.
And then, of course,
that was
of
a
course,
perk.
Let me get that. And then, of course, also the I didn't know this, but Annabelle.
Yes.
The doll. I mean.
Doll. Yes.
That you investigated that too, Lorraine.
Well,
it
yes,
is a pleasure. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be on with you.
Cool.
I have to say, now you're talking to somebody who I'm an amateur ghost hunter,
mm-hmm.
And I take it very seriously. Even though I'm an amateur, I take it very seriously, and I'm a lifelong. I think all of us are lifelong interest in paranormal, and so throughout the years, because you know I'm in my 30s. late 30s, and
you're lucky.
So I grew up reading about all these phenomenal cases that you did and that became famous. I imagine there's, for every one of those, there's probably what, 100 or so that didn't get famous.
Oh, gotcha. Yes.
But all of them must,
more than that.
Oh yeah, and all of them must have just amazing stories. What don't we read? Just really quick, I want to know, what don't we read? What is the stuff? How does it affect you to do what you do? And then, of course, let's talk about what you do. But
well,
I want to know how it affects you.
To research and investigate things of a paranormal nature, whether you are dealing with them with your own culture here in this country, English-speaking culture, or whether you are doing it in countries that don't even speak your language, the similarity is very much the same. It is how easy things like this can begin through people that open doors to the occult through some type of practice, Ouija boards, tarot cards, holding seances, things of this nature. But, I mean, we, just before my husband took ill 3 years ago, we were working with Buddhist monks in the mountains of Japan. Now, of course, there was a language barrier, most definitely a language barrier, and although we had an interpreter, a lot of the time we were working pretty much in the dark on cases that we were working on, which had to do with an area where there was a hideous tragedy, and 250 people were killed in the Mishigami tunnels, and the other being cases of possession that we worked on at the monastery high in the mountains of Japan with these Buddhist monks. Then we were involved where they had built a new complex, a new apartment complex on the site of where there had been an encampment during World War II. And that was hideous. The things that happened there were absolutely hideous. And people were affected on many levels, as they can be. For instance, one woman probably came under what is called oppression. That is when you are being told what to do. And with this, she actually got to the point where she took her life by hanging on this beautiful tree that was out in front of this apartment complex. So you're working with everything. Of course, when we're in Australia, we're working with the same English-speaking people, and we were involved in a case there in Gladesville, just outside of Sydney, that was very much like the Amityville. And by the way, George Lutz will be here tomorrow at our home. He's coming to visit.
Really?
And he will be here tomorrow. And so there's so many aspects of our work. We are as involved in the United Kingdom and all Commonwealth countries as we are in our own country. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that really never become a book or never become a movie, but they are things that we are still involved and give all our time and energy and diligence to in order to try to solve it. And sometimes things like this can be very, very stressful. Very, very stressful. But, yes, you're 100% right. There's many things that the public is not even aware of. Maybe at a speaking engagement, maybe at a university or something of that nature. But, you know, other than that, you just never hear of them.
Right, and I know that I actively seek out, you know, finding out information about paranormal cases and things like that. You, of course, are a whole other level because you're the pro. You know, you are the professional. How did you attain professional status? Because I know you were highly trained and things like that, but how? Because back when I was a kid, when your cases were making headlines and then they started making movies and things like that, the paranormal wasn't talked about that much.
Oh, it wasn't talked about at all. What do you mean that much?
That's what I mean. Other than what you guys were doing. You know, it was you and Jane Roberts. It was Ed and Lorraine Warren and Jane Roberts.
It was, actually.
And that was it. That was all that anybody would talk about until Nancy Reagan came in, and then we got the astrologer kind of thing going.
And we got into another aspect of the work that was brought to the public's attention. Well, how did it happen?
Yeah, because it seems like it was very, I mean, there were some books on witchcraft maybe and on different little things here and there, but it wasn't like it is now. I think there's right now, the year 2004, there's a huge public awareness and it's thanks to what you and Jane Roberts and even more modern, like John Edward does on TV, there's a huge public awareness about paranormal.
Exactly.
But when I was a kid, it was a fringe thing, mm-hmm. left to like a few books here and there.
Well, I'll tell you, in the late 60s, I would say, it was my husband and I are formal education in art, and art funded us and enabled us to do our research. It also enabled us to travel for our research, and that was, we were young, we were very young at that particular time. But Ed decided at one point that he was going to paint his impressions of some of the most outstanding hauntings we had been involved in to date. And he painted them on wood. And they were long, and they were maybe like 18 inches wide. They weren't that wide. And maybe a little wider than that. Anyway, he painted all of these hauntings, or all of these paintings depicting these hauntings. And what had happened was that each year in this small, we live in the village of Stepney, but the town of Monroe, but the village of Stepney, each year would hold a scholarship fund tea, and it was an art event. And because we were well known for our art, we were asked to host and host this event. And a lot of money was made for scholarships. And so this year, they asked Ed if he would exhibit these paintings. So Ed said, oh, I don't know about that. He says, very few people know, actually, that we're doing this. And I don't know, in a small town like this, what people are going to think of the Warrens. We were the Warrens on the hill. We lived on top of a hill. And we were the Warrens on the hill. And what are they going to think of us involved in this area of work? What is their understanding of it going to be? And we're both Roman Catholic. And what is the church going to think? And so, anyway, they talked him into doing it. And that day changed our life forever. It absolutely changed our life forever.
Because did you find then, like, acceptance? Or did you find the... What was the general feeling then? Because you put yourself out on a limb there.
We did put ourselves out on the limb. We really, truthfully did, because the community we live in is very, very conservative. And so when we did this, at that school, we earned, just from the exhibit, 3 full scholarships.
Wow.
And so...
Applause. I'm applauding you. You guys, you do work. You do awesome work. I mean, that was not even related to paranormal. But for art, I think that's phenomenal.
The thing is that education is very important to us.
Definitely.
And so we did this. And that day, there were media people from New York, Philadelphia, all over, media people. There were university people there. There were editors from book publishing firms. We had book offers. We had people that wanted to manage us as university speakers. It was mind-boggling to us. It was absolutely mind-boggling for us. And because we were just interested in satisfying my husband's curiosity regarding a home he grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, that was very haunted. And here we are on national TV, our faces and our names published in all Associated Press and UPS articles, and that was the beginning. That was the beginning, and that was 35 years ago, and we are 35 years university speakers. For the last 3 years now, Ed, of course, has been very ill, and I'm caring for him at home, and I have been doing a lot of this work myself, along with my son-in-law, who is helping me. We have 9 books. And a 10th book has just gone to the publisher. And we have 2 movies of the week. And our life work has been sold to Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow, I didn't know this.
Yes, so...
I'm so excited.
Well, thank you. That's
because...
pretty much... But we are still living on the same grounds. We had a much larger home built.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in an English cottage. That's what we bought here because we love the United Kingdom, and I'm from Irish ancestry. So we had an English cottage on this property, and we had a very, very large art school and art studio where all our paintings were shipped from all over. And now, there's, you know, we are still on the same grounds. We still live here, and we still consider ourselves very ordinary people who've led an extraordinary life.
And that you have. The one of the interesting things is all this came out of something, because as an artist, right, as an artist, you are supposed to explore yourself, explore your inner feelings, explore your, you know, anything that, about you.
Yes.
Ed did this, and it was the beginning of what is an with our audience anyway, would be an infamous career.
You don't think we ever set out to say, well, we're going to be world famous. That was about the farthest thing that you could ever even imagine.
Exactly.
I mean, we never, ever, ever felt that way. We never had that type of a goal. And we're also religious people.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a lot in God's hands. And I feel that He has guided us in doing the work, instructed us. Because there are times that you are dealing with issues where people are concerned that, truthfully, you don't know where you are gaining the insight that you're needed, that is needed in order to be able to help in certain situations. And you find that you're being just guided in the proper direction. We've seen it in other countries. We have seen it in this country. And we look at each other, and we'll both say to each other, honey. And, you know, that's beautiful.
Well, you know, one thing that just occurred to me, one of the best things, that because I know our time is limited today, one of the... all the people who listen, not all of them, I'm sure some listen for the entertainment value, but most of the people that listen to Ghostly Talk that I know of are into paranormal stuff. They're into ghost hunting, maybe, things like that. The best way to not need help is to not get yourself in that situation to begin with.
That's right.
So what I'm wondering is, because...
What is your home base?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What is your home base?
Oh, we're in Fraser, Michigan, which is a little suburb north of Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it's the best way to never need our help is not to get involved with the occult, not to open doors to, you know, with no understanding of what you are doing.
So how can folks like myself even, how could we achieve our goals of convincing ourselves and perhaps gathering evidence of the afterlife and things like that? How could we achieve our goals and protect ourselves from this kind of stuff?
Well, one thing for sure is your religion.
Mm-hmm.
That is most important. I mean, that is your protection. And you must feel that you are... And when people say to us, you know, why do you continue? Because we truly believe we're doing what God wants us to do. Now, my husband, of course, can no longer do it. But so I have, like, double the amount, say, that I am trying to do myself in order to help people. We are all given knowledge for a reason, and the knowledge we are given is to use it. And so read all you can read, study all you can study, and listen all that you have time to listen to. And yes, you can go in, never ever promise anybody in a particular case that you're going to help them. Never ever do that unless you truthfully feel that you are doing it. And never go in with the sole purpose of just going in to see something, like a lot of people do, but having no insight whatsoever regarding how to stop it. Now, we have found in all of our years of work that really the only way to stop the phenomena from occurring is through religious rites. So we will ask the family, the religious rites. If they're a Christian family, then we turn to Christian clergy. If they're Hebrew family, we would turn to a rabbi or a minyan from the temple. Or if they're Buddhist, whatever they might be, Muslim, whatever. You're living near a big city, so you have a mixture of all different religions and all different cultures, more in this country now than we have ever seen before. But we must study these religions, because that is the only way to get rid of them. Forget the sage and all of this crazy stuff to start burning in homes to get rid of it. That is not a way to get rid of it. And things that are very, very important when you go in is asking families where there's children. Are these children baptized? Because if they are not baptized in whatever their religion, then they are very vulnerable.
I read on your site in the editorial part that when you guys went over to the UK, I don't remember what year it was, but Ed had to actually break out some holy water.
That you were?
That Ed had to break out some holy water at one time?
Yes.
Yes. That was, where was that at again?
Well,
the location where that...
he does that regularly. I mean, I think...
That regularly there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because
see,
that's part of
editorial.
A lot of people's religion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
he
I
does
know.
That. We're Roman Catholic, so he's going to use the holy water. But every family whose home we go into is not necessarily a Catholic family. But that doesn't mean that we don't use it for our own protection. Or Ed is a religious demonologist. He is one of only 7 lay demonologists in the world. You can go on these websites today and see all of these people who claim to be. No, they are not. They are not. You have no idea what it means.
Because that's, you know, holy water isn't something that, like, the ghost hunters that I have been around, that is not something that is not that is in their backpack.
Well, see, what there's, I think, though, Lorraine, I know you're, like, we're bumping up against time, but I was wondering, what we do, we're not usually in contact with a lot of activity like that.
But
you know,
could.
You're probably going to historic sites and trying to get photographs, psychic photographs, and things like that.
Yes,
right?
and also on recordings, take some
yes.
tape recordings and see.
Now that's
if,
good.
See if there's any voices, but we're not like chanting.
And, I hope not.
Yeah, and we're not like calling up, you know, Ouija boards or anything like that. We're just
that's not.
Taking
how old
photos.
Are most of you?
I'm probably the oldest, and I'm 37, so that means I would say the average is going to be in the 24 to 28 range.
Good. So you're all adult people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I mean, fine. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Just always make sure, you know, that when you're dealing with haunted locations, that you ask for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And you envision yourself in what is called a Christ. Are you all of Christian faith, this group?
Yeah.
Most are Christians. There are a few who are pagan.
Okay. Well, you have to be careful where the pagan religions are concerned, which call themselves white witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
They call it. They
right.
call it what they do,
right.
you know,
well,
as a white type of witchcraft.
Well, there's a difference between Wiccan and pagan, and I... You know, I don't know if...
There is, dear, but one leads to the other.
Oh, yeah, they are interrelated in some aspects.
Yes,
I know
this.
Yes.
And so, you know, these people, they have to look for their own. We see a lot of this so-called pagan type thing. I'm not going to say we don't condone it, but in one way, it seems to lead into other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they become kind of obsessed with black clothing and all of this type of thing. And that is almost like a type of oppression. You know?
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Okay, I do know people like that, mm-hmm. like what you're talking about. The folks that I know are much more...
conservative?
They're more earthy and balanced than that. They don't. I know that they don't put all of their everything that they do into looking and appearing different.
Okay.
The paganism is simply what it's what they believe in, and it's very earthy and wholesome. It's not radical.
No.
You know, and it's not like they're running around with the black, you know, clothes and makeup and stuff.
You seem to be on the right track, and I'll be more than glad, you know, at another time to do another interview with you. I'll be happy to do that.
Oh, fantastic, because I know we're probably going to get a lot of emails. You should have asked her this. You should have mentioned that, you know, that kind of thing.
Well,
so I would love to have you back on.
Well, I'll be happy to come back on again. And anybody that wants any further knowledge or insight of our work, they can go onto our website, you know, at warrens.net.
Oh, yes, of course, warrens.net. I wonder if there's a listener out there who hasn't been there.
I'm sure they have, dear.
Yes, I'm sure they have. So
yes.
warrens.net.
Yes.
And then they can send us questions and stuff, and we can ask you.
Yeah, that would be fine. Have them send the questions to you, and you kind of keep the good questions and
mm-hmm.
see if we can't answer them.
And then, of course, if anybody's listening who has an issue that you need...
Then I'll be glad to talk to them.
Yes, yeah, because if somebody's having an active, ongoing issue that needs your help, of course...
I'll be glad to help them.
Yes, it sounds like that. Well, I have to say, Lorraine, I know we're bumping against time. I have to say it is an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you, my dear. I look forward to being on with you again.
And then to learn from you as well.
Thank you. Because
that's what you're doing by talking to us. You're teaching a whole lot of folks at the same time.
Well, great. I'm happy.
I'm looking forward to the new book. When's it coming out, did they say, the publisher?
In the fall.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Okay, my dear.
Thank you, Lorraine. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, very good. God bless you.
And you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Lorraine Warren. I am so excited. I am on cloud nine. I am. I'm truly, truly excited. She gave us some helpful hints, told us what to stay away from. She said, you know, the scientific pursuit, which is pretty much what we're doing, where you run around and you take the photographs and you do the EVP and you pump it through the computer and look for patterns and look for stuff, that's not opening the doorways to the, you know, the demons where we might need her help.
Yeah, on their site they talk a lot about, like, don't even bother with Ouija boards.
Right.
That's a big, big,
in her case, you know, they probably ran around a billion times. Oh, it started with a Ouija board.
Right,
you know?
And they even said that, you know, even though nothing happened that day, that it doesn't mean that it, you know, they come when they want to. That you could be like, whatever. I forget what she had gave an example of, but you could be doing like whatever, and there's boom, there it is,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll be like, how did this happen?
We're past our break time, so let's take our break, and I'm going to digest some of this. I'm really on cloud nine, you guys, and we'll be right back with the rest of Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Karma.
And Scott L is down for the count.
Scott L is a couch puppet.
Yes. And we'll be right back.